like for you to go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. And we want to read the first 8 verses in your hearing. When we have that, let us say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And that's enough.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we come right now with thanksgiving, thanking you right now, God, for all things that you have given unto us. We ask right now that you allow us to embrace your love. We thank you for your presence with us 139 years of a church and of a family, of a community, throughout all time past, present, and future. As we approach this celebration for 139 years, we ask that you create us anew. Liberate us from that which keeps us from you. Enable us to recreate our world and restore justice. Heal us from every form of sin and violence. Restore our confidence in ourselves, our community, and in our leaders. Transform us to live your word more profoundly. Reconcile us so enemies will become friends. Awaken us to the sacred and nurture our relationships. Enliven our communities and reunite our families. Fill us with the joy to celebrate the fullness of life, the kind of joy that the world did not give us, neither can the world take it away. Bless these your people. Shelter them and hide them behind the cross right now so that only you can be seen. And then allow me to speak so loud so that only you can be heard. We ask in the name of your precious son, Jesus, and for his sake, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. just want to say thank you again. It's good to be amongst celebrities. One known, others to become.
Amen.
Just glad. At first I was a little worried about this occasion. In other words, let's be honest about it. I was a little flattered when I was given the invitation, but after it wore off, reality sunk in for me. So I'm asking your support right now because I know God is going to help us. Anyway, Pastor Crosby talked to me on several occasions. Everything's going to be all right. And sister trustee, Sally called and said, everything will be all right, Pastor Hay. I said, I know it's going to be all right, but I still need some help. But I just want to thank God for all he has allowed on this day. I know that we have some sick among us, but prayer is our answer. As Pastor was reiterating, I like to reiterate, as he said, that we pray for one another. And no matter what we are going through, prayer has a way of reaching God, and God has a way of answering prayer. And he may not come when we want him to come, but we know that when he does come, he is an on-time God. Someone say that weeping may endure for a night, but joy, that unspeakable joy, comes in the morning. Now, your morning may not be tomorrow morning, but it's coming. It's on the way. Your morning may not be next year, but it's on the way. Whenever your morning comes, you can just give God all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And Sister Hay and Sister Boxer, I want to thank all of you all for coming with me. I'm quite sure some folks know you, but stand up anyway. Let them see you. Turn around. Let them wave your hand. Years. We want to talk with you from that second chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we want to talk from that fourth verse. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Believe it or not, when Paul wrote this letter, there were some of the same things happening then that's happening now. There was a division, and there were people who were not humble. But yet, God allowed Paul to talk to us. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We want to speak to you this morning from the sermonic idea. A church needs spiritual power in order to walk in the path of righteousness. A church needs spiritual power in order to walk in the path of righteousness. Well, Pastor, who is the church? Those who are baptized believers. Those who believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the church, not this building. This building is a place of worship. You make up the church. You, and me. We make up the church. Now, in our walk, we're going to become broken at times. Oh, we're going to become frail. Jeremiah talks about clay in the potter's hand. But God is able to remold us, remake us, and even make us stronger than what we are, even in our finite minds. And in this passage of scripture, Paul declares that his preaching does not bring the excellency of speech or of the human wisdom, but rather the power of God. Ephesians 3 and 16 speaks of that spiritual power that God is going to grant each one of us according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The inner man, what is the inner man? I'm glad you asked. The inner man is the heart or soul. Genesis 2 and 7 says, God breathed the breath into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. You see, brothers and sisters, language like this refers to those special powers, supernatural gifts which were bestowed upon the officers of the apostolic church or age. And as the apostles spoke of the cross of Christ and of the moral and spiritual effects, seems reasonable to take that expression and employ it to accompany the word of salvation. In order to walk in the path of righteousness, you're going to need spiritual power. See, oftentimes with all of life's snares and hideous noises that we hear when we walk through the path of righteousness, if we are not strong, we will perish and run. You see, Brother Aaron, that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to run. But if we're going to run, let us run to the Lord Jesus. Someone said that is a bridge over troubled waters. Then I heard again saying he is a present help in the time of trouble. The Jews would have received the Spirit had it been the dispensation of miracles. The Greeks would have received the Spirit had it been the dispensation of great rhetoric and philosophy. Why? Because Aristotle was their authority. But God's Spirit has his own mode of operation. And that mode of operation is withheld from the apprehension of the carnal minds and carnal nature of man. Those saints who bore unto the Savior were able to rejoice in God, for he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. As the Spirit of truth was shown upon the apostles, that same Spirit of power makes its way to the hearts of men. That same power should move us on this day of celebration, celebrating 139 years. The word of the Lord ought to make all of us move. For that same Spirit of power is from above. And as it breathes the wind, the fire, the dew, the rain, and the love of God, that same Spirit of power will aid us as we prepare or continue to walk in the path of righteousness. You see, the human souls are the fields for the operation of the Spirit of God. And every one of us ought to be in the Spirit of God. Then as we grow, the fruits ought to be recognized by the Christians and the non-Christians alike. See, Christianity is no mechanical religion. It's not to be secured by the external conformity. What you talking about, hey? In other words, if you're going to talk that talk, then you got to walk that walk, and everybody ought to know you by your walk and by your talk. We got to separate ourselves from evildoers and refrain from the materialistic values and idols and begin abiding in God's word. Then will God's word abide in you? Paul is saying he did not come with the excellency of speech. Neither did he come with rhetoric and trying to pull somebody in. But he said, let the word of God work within and throughout. For God's word is powerful enough. And as you walk, remember that the gospel is implemented and is the weapon of the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not of Brother Aaron Crosby. It's not because of Sister Sally. It's not because of any of you, myself, but because of Jesus, Lord and Savior. The Spirit of Jesus Christ approaches man's spirit in every true and every pure and every lofty desire. And this is done in every revelation of pity, of love, and of sacrifice. But one of our biggest problems we have as Christians, we don't like to sacrifice. God asks for a tenth of our earnings, but we'd rather go out and spend that tenth or more on what we have, which belongs to God, on idleness. And then some of us wonder, why can't we get ahead? Why? Because we have robbed God. Why? Because we are not listening to the Spirit of God. Why? Because we chose not to be in tune with the power of God. God knew if we are to walk or stay in the path of righteousness, we were going to need spiritual power. In other words, he therefore sent his only begotten Son, who in turn sent his Holy Spirit to keep us in check. And as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we walk in the path of righteousness, if you walk, my brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God will aid you and will guide you along the way. The Spirit is in the Word, and the Word is living. The Word is powerful. Nothing is weak about God's Word. If it's weak, we make it weak. Because when we walk weak. We walk crippled. We walk humped over. When we talk weak. We stutter, losing the essence of what God is saying. If we are to continue to walk in the path of righteousness, we must have faith and repentance. Must have obedience and holiness. Oh, there's a power and a demonstration of God which exists within every one of us, which plugs into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must have a relationship with him. In other words, come here, Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, the Holy Spirit feels like fire shut up in my bones. See, the Spirit is telling us that there is a source of strength from above. Job said, one strength should not be standing in the wisdom of men, but rather in the power of God. Here we have the fruits of the Spirit telling us of life and the results of life. If you live a righteous life, you'll die a righteous death. If you live a weak life, you'll die a weak death. If you hold to God's hand now, God will hold to your hand in your last years. If you give to God now, he'll in turn give unto you. If you go through the fire now, you'll come out like pure gold. If we are to walk in the path of righteousness, we cannot continue to sow wild seeds. Adultery and fornication are abominations unto God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If we are to walk in the path of righteousness, must keep on witnessing, telling the world about the good news of Jesus Christ. Letting the world know that he is our Savior. Let the world know that he is a doctor who's never lost a patient. Let the world know that he is a lawyer who has never lost a case. But we must trust in him and lean not to our own understanding. Allow me to pose a question. How many of you stop someone from going in the wrong direction? You don't have to answer it now. But if we are to walk in the path of righteousness, we must keep an abundance of precious crops growing all around us all the time. And let them bring forth much fruit. You see, responsibility is involved in the presence of the Spirit of God. And we as teachers of the gospel must be reminded that our reliance should not be upon our own gifts, but by the Word and the Spirit of God. Let us not quench the Spirit, because to reject the Spirit deliberately and persistently is a sin against the Holy Spirit. Let us be reminded that we are to walk in the path of right. We must follow the examples of Jesus. Paul did not come as a philosopher, but as a hearer. He did not come with enticing words as he proclaimed the truth. Verse 2 states, I'm determined not to know anything among you other than Jesus Christ and Jesus being crucified. Only thing Paul is saying, the only thing I can tell you is that he died one Friday. Got up one Sunday morning with all power entrusted in the palm of his hand, saying, I'm he which was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm alive forevermore. And as we walk in the path of righteousness, we must teach the presence of Christ. We must teach the subject of the prophecy. We must teach the subject of the apostles' knowledge. Teach Christ, the one whom was sent of God, Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. Christ, the Savior of men. Let those who are not walking in the path of righteousness know that we are responsible to get them in the path of righteousness. Oh, let them know of our Savior, especially the tragedy on the cross out on Golgotha Hill. Isaiah said long ago, before the Calvary experience, said Christ was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. This was the testimony of God's revelation of his divine wisdom. God had nothing greater or better to disclose to men than to encourage us to walk in the path of righteousness. See, Jesus is mighty. He's ready to save us. But if we're going to continue to walk in the path of righteousness, we cannot rely upon our employers. We cannot rely upon our bank accounts. We cannot rely upon our fine homes or fine automobiles. Husbands, we cannot rely upon our wives, and wives, you cannot rely upon your husband. We all must walk with Jesus. Jesus has that friendly affirmation and that fatherly authority. Jesus has that divine human ability. But Jesus has that gentle legacy and that humble courtesy. If we are going to walk with Jesus, we must have that majestic mercy and that heavenly security. If we are going to continue to walk in the path of right, we must wake up. We must clean up. We must pray up. Even pay up. Never give up. Never let up. Never go back until the church is built up. We're going to walk in the path of righteousness. We must be able to climb high mountains. Must be able to overcome our handicaps. Must be able to solve mean problems and conquer temptations. Oh, we must be able to destroy evil, Sister Hayden. As you walk in the path of righteousness, you're going to be able to fight tough battles. You'll be able to cross wide oceans when you're walking in the path of righteousness. You'll be able to smile when you're talked about. You will be able to love when you're hated. Oh, when you walk in the path of righteousness, no power on earth will be able to keep you down. Walking in the path of righteousness, you need spiritual power. If you're knocked down, you'll rise up because you have that spiritual power. And realize that while you're walking in the path of righteousness, you're going to be called everything but a child of God, but that's all right. Continue to trust God. And every now and again on this Christian journey, when you're walking in the path of righteousness, they're going to tell you that it's not worth it, but you continue to let them know that for God you live and for God you will die if you have to serve him all by yourself. You continue to trust God. Every now and again, your name may be hanged on the wings of the morning, but you need to know that Jesus is going to work it out somehow. And I know he will. If you just trust him a little bit longer. If you just hold his unchanging hand, if you just say, Lord, here I am, I'm your child and you are my father, come on and see about me. If you come see about me just a little while, then I know everything will be all right. You see, we need spiritual power. Oh, if you're in the path and have become frail or broken, if you're just like clay this morning in the potter's hand, if you're broken, if you're frail, the potter wants to put you back together again. Say, Lord, mold me and make me after thine own will. You need power to continue this Christian journey. Oh, my friends, for we all have a race to run, and let us not let our running be in vain. But let us continue in the path of righteousness. And one of these days when we can no longer come and fellowship one with the other, when we can no longer come and hear Brother Aaron tell us what thus saith the Lord, when we can no longer come and sing Zion songs that Sister Sally and my sister here is singing, when it's his time to call and our time to answer, let us be ever so ready so we can hear his welcome voice saying, servants of God, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Come up higher and I'll make you rule over many. And he's promised to do that. Just one more time. Just one more time. Thank God I'm glad to be in the number. One more time. Well, I could have been dead. Could have been resting in my grave. Thank God I'm glad to be in the number. One more time. Just to say amen. Just to say amen.
One more time.
Thank God I'm glad to be in the number. One more time. Just to hear you pray.
One more time.
Just to hear you pray. Thank God I'm glad to be in the number. One more time, just to say amen.
One more time.
Just to say amen.
One more time.
Thank God I'm glad to be in the number. One more time. Amen.
Amen.
Just one more time. I don't know about you.